7 o'clock. We're now opening our regular meeting of the Fluvanna County Planning Commission for May 25th. Our first item of business is our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Next on our agenda is our Director's Report for May.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've got a couple items to report on. The Board of Supervisors approved 4-0 request for Raymond Bunch of Antioch Brewing Company, which is my understanding is our first brewery in county history. So that was approved at the last board meeting, and the Board of Zoning Appeals also met, and they approved a variance request of Antioch Baptist Church 5-0. That's all I have to report this month.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions about anything that Mr. Stewart brought? Okay. The next item on our agenda is our first of two public comment sections. These public comment sections are to allow people to speak about anything other than the items that are on the agenda. Anyone wishing to come forward, you will be allowed 3 minutes. Come forward, state your name and your address. Seeing no one coming forward, we will go on to our next item, which will be approval of minutes. Do I have any concerns about the minutes, or do I have a motion?
Make a motion to be approved.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Johnson to approve the minutes as written.
Second.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Lagacino. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. The next item on the agenda is a public hearing, SUP 1605, Dominion Power of Virginia.
Good evening, members of the commission. We have for you tonight special use permit 1605 for Dominion Virginia Power. This is a request for a special use permit to relocate a private microwave communications tower with respect to 91.05 acres of tax map 5971. The property is located in a rural residential planning area. This is a plan to erect a 390-foot tall self-support lattice tower. This tower is being put up as a replacement for a 325-foot tall guide tower structure, which dates from the 1970s and is now at the end of its useful life. This new tower will be more modern, will be able to support more equipment both for Dominion and potentially for the county. This is a private tower. This is not going to be used by cell carriers. This is purely for Dominion to use and also as a co-location for the county's emergency services equipment. This is the location of the property in question. The existing tower dating from the 1970s is right here, and they're merely going to be moving it. It'll be taken down and then a new tower rebuilt on an abandoned basketball court right here. It's about a distance of 1,400 feet, so it's being moved. Both the property on which the existing 1970 tower is on and the property for the new proposed tower are both zoned A1. Down here we have some work by Dominion. Otherwise, all the surrounding area is zoned A1, and it's a mix of industrial uses for Dominion and then farmland and some scattered residential use. This is a view of the existing tower. Again, you can see the support buildings at the base from the road. And this is the view of the existing tower from the basketball court where the new tower will be built. And even here you can see the outline of the existing support buildings at the base of the tower. From its new location, looking towards Bremo Road, you have this rise in terrain, this little hill right here, which stops people from viewing the support structure. So from Bremo Road itself, not only will the tower be hid by trees and existing shrubbery on the Bremo Road, but there's trees right over here and that hill. right here. So in fact, the new tower will be built here, but you will not be able to see the support structures. All you'll be able to see would be the tower, and even then your view of the tower would be obstructed from the road by the existing natural landscaping. So this new tower should actually be less visible than the existing tower, and it will be built more up to code. It'll be a more modern tower design. So overall, this is a request to relocate a private communications tower. Again, this is going to be used solely for either Dominion with the possible allowance of a co-location opportunity for the Fluvanna County EMS service. The potential impacts could be either a visual impact from the road or the event of a catastrophic tower structural failure. If you have any questions, the applicant and myself are available. Otherwise, I have a suggested motion for the commission.
The Fluvanna County has some antenna structure on this old tower at this point.
Sheriff Elliott would know that. I don't know right now if we do.
Okay.
Do you know if we do?
Yeah.
The applicant says that we do, sir.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have any questions? Would the applicant like to come forward and speak about this?
I can if you'd like me to. My name is John Mulligan. I'm the permitter for the job. I brought with me Matt Wiley. He's the brains of the operation. And Susie King, she's our government affairs. We think this would be a win-win for us and for the county. It's going to increase our capabilities and your emergency service capabilities as well. I really don't see any downside to this project.
I know that when we were doing our communications work and the plan for the county, there was talk about at one time the fact that this structure was getting older and it might have to be replaced. And I actually did know that the county had some antenna structures on that. I just didn't know whether other people knew that or not. So that was the main reason I asked that question.
Sure.
And any?
I don't think we can put anything else on it. I think it's pretty much maxed out and past its life.
Anybody have any questions for the applicant? Okay. At this time, I will open the public hearing. Anybody with the public that would like to come forward and speak about this item, if you would come forward to the microphone and state your name and address. Seeing no one coming forward, I will turn it over to the Planning Commission for discussion. Anybody have any discussions or any concerns or so forth like that?
I'm familiar with the area, where it's located and everything. I think it's an excellent idea. I think a county would really benefit from it.
I agree. So if there's no concerns, there's no more discussion, do I have a motion?
I'll give you a motion.
Okay.
I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 16:05, a request for a special use permit to relocate a private microwave communications tower with respect to 91.05 acres of tax map 59, section 7, parcel 1, if approved, subject to the 11 conditions listed in the staff report.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Johnson. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Johnson, a second by Mr. Zimmer. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. It is approved. Thank you. Okay, the next item on our agenda tonight is a site development plan, SDP 1605, Fluvanna Self-Storage.
Good evening. This is a request for sketch plan approval to construct a series of self-storage buildings of various dimensions with respect to 12.86 acres of tax map 9A9. The parcel is zoned B1 and is located within the Rivanna Community Planning Area. Adjoining parcels are zoned A1, R4, and BC. This is a view of the property itself on Lake Monticello Road. Currently, the property is undeveloped. It's forested. There's several subdivisions. behind the property, but just adjacent to it is forested properties on either side and some scattered housing. But the area right along Lake Monticello Road is currently mainly forested. This is a view of the sketch plan that the applicant has proposed. This would be phase one of what will eventually be a three-phase project. Tonight, you are only approving the first phase. Phase two would be additional storage unit buildings over here, and then phase three would be commercial development along Lake Monticello Road. However, phases two and three are several years out at a minimum, and right now, this is what the applicant has proposed for storage units. Again, this is a three-phase project. You're only approving phase one. There's no office on site. Therefore, there's no need for a septic setup. They're not putting any restrooms. There will be a well, but the purpose of the well is just to allow for power washing of buildings. There's no potable water or restrooms on site. Also, they've not set up any area for parking. This is just for temporary loading and unloading for the use of storage units. The applicant is also requesting a sidewalk variance. Things to bear in mind is that the site is located in the Rivanna Community Planning Area. The site currently does not have pedestrian access. That is, there are no sidewalks for the surrounding properties. The applicant does not believe that the sidewalks would further the goals of the comprehensive plan or further public health, safety, or welfare. However, the comprehensive plan strategy C1 for transportation is to require the development of alternative transportation such as sidewalks and trails in new major subdivisions and sidewalks in commercial areas. So we've got that to consider. This is a close-up view of the parcel. Again, there are no sidewalks leading to their proposed development. In conclusion, this is a sketch plan for phase one of a multi-phase project, which is comprised of two phases of storage units and a third phase of commercial development. The sketch plan appears to meet the requirements of the zoning ordinance. The final site plan must comply with all aspects of the zoning ordinance, as well as receive approval from all applicable agencies. And staff recommends approval of site development plan 1602, subject to the three conditions listed in the staff report. So I do have a motion for a sketch plan and then a separate motion for a sidewalk variance. And both myself and the applicant are available if you have any questions.
I had seen that there was a possibility that the entranceway may be needed to be moved to the other end of the property.
Yes, sir. After the TRC review meeting, VDOT suggested that they move their entrance. It was originally planned for up here. They suggested this might be a better spot, and the applicant has changed their plan accordingly. Also, Erosion and Sediment Control advised that they should change their sediment stormwater basin plan. So now they've put a stormwater basin down through here because there is an intermittent stream through here. So there's a 50-foot buffer around that stream, and this is a better location for their storm basin, and VDOT thinks this is a better location for their road entrance. So VDOT's satisfied, and Erosion and Sediment Control is satisfied by this preliminary plan.
Okay, thank you. Anybody have any questions?
The main road around the buildings, not the ones that go between the buildings, that main road, will that support emergency apparatus?
Yes, it's designed to take a 52-foot tractor trailer.
Okay.
Will you be building the storm basin in this first phase?
Justin Shimpin, the engineer of the project. Yes, the basin goes in with the first phase required by the DEQ regulations.
Okay, any other questions? Would the applicant like to speak about this, or you think everything has been covered?
I think you basically heard. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for the applicant? Is there any concerns or anyone else? Just the fact that I had noticed about the change, and I know they changed it on the actual sketch plan, so that makes it much easier for us. Do I have a motion?
Public hearing.
Have a public hearing. It's a site plan. Don't have to have a public
hearing. I do have a discussion then. My only concern is the sidewalk variance. You know, this is the first development there. But all that's in the planning area. And I wouldn't like to see us getting the same thing that happened there at the Food Lion area where they allowed sidewalk variance, sidewalks not to be put in, and then the state had to come behind and put them in later as it continued to develop. So my question, I guess, for staff or for Mr. Payne is, so this is phase one. There's nothing else around it, and it's not really an activity that might necessarily need a sidewalk out front there. And since there's nothing else around, but when phase two for the front or phase three or whatever comes about.
Yes.
Can this vary, so we could require sidewalks yes. then in the future?
Yeah, and just so the record is clear on it, Mr. Zimmer has, I think, correctly identified the salient facts. This is not a use that's going to generate pedestrian traffic, and there's no, other than incidental, there's no pedestrian traffic going to happen on the site. Now, phase two, on the other hand, is supposed to be retail. And retail...
Phase three.
But either.
Sorry,
phase three. And regardless
the
of when that happens.
The front property is supposed to be retail. At that point, those factors are no longer going to apply. And that will require site plan. So I think you can require the sidewalks at that point.
They would have to come back to the Planning Commission and the same procedure.
And I'm just making sure that this variance doesn't waive the requirement.
No, that's why.
There will be future requirements as they have to come back to you all to get sketch approval.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to make sure that it was clear to everybody that this site plan doesn't generate the need
right.
for sidewalks.
I agree with that.
But phase three, I stand corrected, will do so or is likely to do so because of the nature of it as retail space in an otherwise residential area.
Should we make that some type of clarification in giving a variance about the sidewalks only to apply to phase one?
Is that
that's probably inherent in the motion, isn't it?
I think it is. It probably wouldn't hurt to say something about that.
Because it says for a three-stage process.
So we change that.
Change the language in the first motion, which is for the overall development plan. So I brought that if you're approving this as site development plan 16.05, that for their additional site development plans for phases 2 and 3, those will be site development plan 16.06 or 16.07. So if you approve to their sidewalk waiver here for 16.05, I realize it says a sketch plan for a three-phase project to construct storage facilities and commercial space. However, it's specifically for a sidewalk waiver for site development plan 16.05.
Yeah,
what follows is a now erroneous description of that. However, you would still be stuck with site development plan 16.05. So I don't think this would impact phase two or phase three. But
I think it might be advisable to say something like a sketch plan for phase one of a three-phase plan. So it's clear that you're not approving a site plan for the rest of the project, except to the extent that it supports phase one.
And that
did I get the number right that time?
Yes, sir.
Even a stop clock's right twice a day.
Does the applicant understand what we're talking about? And thank you. Is there any other questions or discussion? If not, do I have a motion?
Yes. I move to approve SDP 16.05, a request for sketch plan approval to construct a series of self-storage buildings of various dimensions with respect to 12.86 acres of Tax Map 9, Section A, Parcel 9, subject to the three conditions listed in the staff report.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Gaines. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mr. Zimmer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0.
If I cause this trouble, you want me to do this one?
Thank you.
Thank you.
We still have the sidewalk waiver.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to go to the... Do I have a motion about the sidewalk waiver with the language we discussed?
Since I caused that trouble, I'll try to do this right here. So I move to approve a sidewalk waiver to SDP 1605 for phase one of this project to construct storage facilities in regards to 12.86 acres of Tax Map 9, Section A, Parcel 9, pursuant to County Code Section 22-23-6.6.A.
I have a Motion by Mr. Zimmer about the sidewalk waiver. Do I have a second?
Yes, you do.
Have a second by Mr. Gaines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item of business is I suggested and talked to Mr. Stewart about us discussing the land use policy and rural preservation discussion because of the amount of publicity it's been in the Fluvanner Review and so forth like that recently, and some of the things that weren't explained and so forth like that. The fact that land use is not just a money issue, it is a tool which we learned about in when we go to our planning classes. It is a tool used to affect the fact of keeping the county rural. It also has a fact of it helps with the environment. The forestry part helps to ensure that there is forest land and there are forest products available. I think one thing that people don't understand is, and I don't think it was explained very much in some of these things, is we have worked on the plan, the comprehensive plan for several years, and this never came up. The people wanted us to keep it rural, and this is a tool that you use to keep it rural. The fact is, the land and land use per dollar of income received by the county, only 11 to 21% are spent in services. On a normal valued property in the county, for every dollar of revenue you receive, there's $1.16 to $1.39 in services spent. So that's one of the things. It also keeps from having spot zoning, erosion, and things of this nature. They talked about conflict of interest too in an article. The fact is that there is a state code that actually allows this, and the actual prices are for this land use tax is done by the state. The Commissioner of Revenue can do some adjustment to that, but the basic prices are actually set not by the locality but by the state. I think the fact is that some of these articles did not explain to the citizens that it is a tool. It's just like they use taxation in economic development by a business might come in and you don't give them have any taxes for 5 years or something like that. So it's a tool used by 64 counties in the state of Virginia. And I just was worried about the fact that changing that could have some deep problems with our comprehensive plan. Does anybody have any questions about that or anything to add to the discussion about it?
I don't think, as I read the article, that they were looking to change the land use. I think the biggest question was, when was the last time land use was looked at to have the rate changed on it, and why is that seemingly the last thing to be looked at?
Actually, the rate is set by the state.
The rate is recommended by the state. The rate's actually set is the same as for everybody else. It's the valuation, and you're right, that is set by higher authority.
Well, the state recommends. Yeah. SLEAC recommends, and right. Then the Commission of Revenue can.
And I think we have been following that recommended rate from what I can understand. And it gives a chart that you can look at for different counties in the state, different rates. And I think another thing that other some people did not understand that your house and your first 2 acres are taxed at the same rate as everyone else. Only additional, like for instance, my piece of property, I have to have over 20 acres of forest land to be considered, and I have 28 acres in forest use and so forth like that. And I think what happened, if you change that, you would have a lot of people that would consider clear-cutting this land. I just concerned the fact that it could affect the comprehensive plan and our purpose of keeping the county rural and not having spot zoning throughout the county. So if you take 100 acres out here and made it into a cluster subdivision, you could do 50 houses where that 100 acres, exception of the 2 acres, would be only requiring 11 to 21 cents of services from the county. But then if you had 50 houses, that would require $1.16 to $1.39 per every dollar that the county receives in taxes.
Definitely, trees don't call EMS.
And definitely don't go to school.
And they don't go to school.
And they help our air quality.
Right.
Anybody else have any questions or any additional discussion about that? If not, we've got another item on the agenda tonight under old business. Former Town of Columbia Floodplain Protection Zoning Map Amendment, which we kind of discussed in our work session, but we thought would be best to be voted on at our regular session.
Mr. Chairman, you have in front of you a resolution basically authorizing us to go ahead and advertise for a public hearing on the floodplain map amendment for our June. We plan to have our June meeting, and we're asking the commission approve the motion so we can go ahead and
should I read this schedule.
We have the motion. We have the motion on the screen.
Mr. Chairman, you understand what the difference is between the two documents you see here. Because either the board or the commission can propose this. So if you want to do it, it's perfectly appropriate for you to do so.
Maybe you can explain to me what the difference between the two documents is.
Well, originally, the document that's attached to the map, mm-hmm. I drafted to initiate this change, but it was to be initiated by the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
What I understood was the commission had some sense that it didn't see any reason to take it to the board first. Go ahead, the commission could go ahead and do it. The statute allows either one.
Okay.
So that being the case, it doesn't make any difference. You can do either.
This one.
You can do this one, or you can let the board do this one. It has the same effect.
Essentially, the timing works out better. The earlier in July, we're able to get it approved by the Board of Supervisors. The better it is to get DCR.
And I think the fact that we are actually working on the zoning and how to do the zoning and so forth in Columbia right now, if we're involved in that.
It's perfectly perfect. And he's right that since this is effective July 1st, the sooner it gets done, the better, because Columbia used to have a zoning ordinance somewhere. But
in theory.
No, I remember it. It used to exist, but nobody could find a copy of it. So it really was pretty much ineffective for several years, and it's certainly ineffective now because the town no longer functions as a town. So the sooner we get this in place, the sooner the citizens will benefit from having the floodplain zoning in effect. I don't want to see somebody lose.
We're looking at a July 6th Board of Supervisors approval, as opposed to sometime in August.
Yeah, I don't want to see anybody lose his flood insurance because we wanted to take another month to deal with it.
Yeah, flood on July 4th, somebody's going
to
be mad.
Would somebody like to make a motion about this resolution?
I move that the Fluvanna County Planning Commission adopt the resolution entitled A Resolution to Recommend Amendment to the Fluvanna County Zoning Map to Include the Former Town of Columbia Within the Flood Protection Overlay Protection District.
I have a motion from Mr. Gaines to adopt the resolution before us. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Longacino. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. I don't know of any other old business. We have our last public comment section, which is limited to 3 minutes. If anyone from the public wishing to come forward to speak about anything in the county can come forward at this time. Seeing no one coming forward, I will end the last public comment section for the night. And if there's any no other objection, we will adjourn at 7:31. We are adjourned.